Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. We are live in Los Angeles, California, right here on the Roku channel. It is free for every single human being that has a Roku device. We're right here on this Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, smart enough to have us. We are 50-plus affiliates and growing here on our radio program. It's also available on Sirius XM, Odyssey, and our podcast every single day. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial over the next 3 hours on this show. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. What's going on,
hey,
brother?
Rich, nothing much, man. What's happening?
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts back
What's
in his chair.
Rich?
Good to see you. TJ Jefferson, how are you over there? Good to see you here on this Wednesday.
It's good to be seen. Rich, going to light this candle.
Light it up.
We had a no-hitter in baseball yesterday.
I know we did.
I
know. Well, that's why we've got 3 hours to talk about it here on this program. Bruce Feldman of The Athletic and Fox Sports is going to be spending time with us in studio in hour number two here in Big Ten country, formerly Pac-12 country. And it soon might be the Pac-5. I have no idea. There may be as many teams in the Pacific, the Pac Conference as the Jacksons once had in their group. We'll talk about that with Bruce when he joins us on this program. And another in-studio guest in hour number three, Nate Boyer, our longtime friend of this show. He is the host of a reality competition program, which means he's allowed to talk about something on television.
Right.
Survive the Raft. He will be here in studio hour number three, the former NFL and college football long snapper and man who served our country valiantly for many a moon. He will be joining us in studio in hour number three of this program. Hour number one, I'll be straight up. I promoted it yesterday. We were supposed to have Cooper Kupp on this show today. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to call in 18 minutes from now, but he left practice early yesterday.
Uh-oh.
And they are calling it a hamstring injury, and we have a several weeks diagnosis for this young man in the same way we had one for Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. Joe's got a calf injury. This one is apparently a hamstring injury. And Cooper Kupp, they think he might get out there for some scrimmages by the end of training camp. But according to Sean McVay, a red zone play where Cooper Kupp was practicing left him limping, and he left the field, and he is not on today's program. Ugh. And here we are in that portion of the training camp / preseason that begins tomorrow night in Canton, Ohio, for the Kellen Mond versus Zach Wilson quarterback performance that we were all
desperately looking
talking about.
To.
Oh, yeah.
Excited.
And we've reached that portion of why are we doing it? You know, why are we doing it? And that's when preseason football comes in. We're already seeing some injuries occur in training camp. The reason why we're doing it is you have to. These guys can't just stroll out there.
Right.
In week one, and there's going to be fewer padded practices in training camp than ever before, and fewer preseason games, as we know, that started over the last couple of years with the don't really call it expanded regular season anymore. You got to do it. These guys can't get out there because in weeks one and two, we saw last year, it kind of felt like preseason was still going on for a lot of teams. And I can only hope Cooper Kupp comes back. I saw Van Jefferson. I actually ran into him when Susie and I were up north of this town here in Los Angeles when we took a couple of days last month when we were in the old sideways wine country. Saw Van Jefferson.
My cousin.
He could not have been nicer and more, you know, engaged and engaging for this season. And that's one of those Rams that they're going to try and hang their hat on and make sure that they can have a comeback season. Van Jefferson, part of that offense that once upon a time had as many fantasy football players as any other team, and now we're wondering who you're going to be drafting this coming up this fall and later on this summer, and wondering if Cooper Kupp's one of those guys. Got to have him back. I mean, that's not really a take or a hot take right here, but I saw that and I thought to myself, well, we'll get Cooper on later on at another point of this summer, hopefully. And the Rams just, we'll see him when we see him. Week one, Rams at Seattle. How about that for an opener?
I like it.
Right now you're wondering, is Cincinnati going to have Joe Burrow for their opener at Cleveland? Right now you're sitting here wondering about all these other injured guys, who's going to be coming back in time or not. And Cooper Kupp is down and out, and we're sending our best to him.
Yeah.
So we did what we can only do, which is replace Cooper Kupp with John Boy. So that's what we're doing. As soon as Kupp went down, I immediately thought to myself, who can talk about the baseball trading deadline in an engaging manner that that we will enjoy having a talk with, that's not a so-called news and information person that we've already had on multiple times over the last couple of weeks? And I thought of John Boy. And why not? Because he is the guy who has been talking Yanks on his podcast and has been talking baseball and is all over Major League Baseball. And the trade deadline yesterday brought a couple of matters into focus, certainly in the American League. So your Mets raised the white flag over the last few days, and you can put the thumbs down as you're currently doing on our Roku channel feed, TJ. But at least they chose a lane.
Yeah.
At least they chose a lane. And what lane they chose was to wave the white flag on this season and send basically the AL West into a tizzy. Mm-hmm. And the Mets will decide who wins the American League West. As Max Scherzer is now with the Texas Rangers. Big, by the way, Mets got back Acuna's kid brother.
Yes.
In that trade, who's now automatically their second best prospect, according to those who
number 44 talk about overall
these matters in their system. Right, number 44 overall. He's number two in the Texas Rangers Mets system now.
Yep.
And now Justin Verlander goes to Houston. And in case you're wondering how the Astros feel about this, they tweeted out a photograph of him staring right down. Your face back where he belongs. And
he's
I understand. And he is, I know, I think Tiger fans might get a little pushback there, but
hey.
And how did the Astros react to that? Well, Framber Valdez went out and threw a 90 pitch no hitter.
Unreal.
Okay. So the Astros add Verlander and then get a no hitter from arguably still their best pitcher, right? You say that? You make that argument right now?
Verlander's been good the last month.
I know Verlander's going to the Hall. Yeah. I get it. But that's how the Astros are doing these days.
So they're doing great is what you're
saying. Well, and the Rangers are going to have to hope that they went ahead and got the piece that they need in Max Scherzer, who, by the way, on the way out the door, 20-game winner for the Mets, unfortunately for them, over a year and a half.
Yeah.
After spending 1.5 of the three-year contract, three-year $130 million contract. I mean, he's making his he made a nice run for his Bobby Bonilla Mets money there, man. And it's and on the way out the door, him saying how the reason why he's gone, as if the obvious Mets flopping on center stage wasn't enough. He said he talked to the general manager, Billy Epler, spoke to him and said to him, hey, what's the plan here?
What gives?
And he said, the general manager told him, well, 2025 is our target date to start
new plan.
Getting big time players in here, which is kind of interesting that the general manager for the Mets would tell the plan to Max Scherzer, hey, next year we're not going to really be in it on free agency, and it's 2025 we'll be in on the big players. I'm paraphrasing what Scherzer told the press going out the door. And the one thing I saw there, if they're not going after big-name free agents in 2024, meaning this upcoming non-playing season, are they not in on Ohtani?
Apparently not.
Did the general manager of the Mets tell Max Scherzer, you might as well get out of here because we're not in on anybody? Or the fact that Scherzer's money for next year is off the books, we're assuming, and then Verlander's money is off the books, that maybe they can now go for Ohtani? And I don't understand why people needed to be cleared to get off the books for Ohtani, since there's a deity in the world that many of us pray to, the same or different deity, but we all have a deity. And Steve Cohen apparently has more money than that deity. So I don't understand what that's about.
The Mets are paying $137.5 million to players who aren't on the team.
Which, by the way, I believe is the ninth highest payroll in Major League Baseball currently. They're paying more money to players on the team than two-thirds of the league are paying their current rosters. That's what the Mets are doing. Okay, but hey.
Can I tap out? Can I wait?
You can tap out all you want. And when you tap out, look to your right or your left, you'll see a Yankee fan sitting right next to you. Because at least the Mets chose a lane. The Yankees were looking for a lane. And I don't mean Bennis either. Because she's sitting in an Orioles hat happy right now in Yankee Stadium. Extremely. Because the Orioles are sitting atop that division. Sitting atop the American League next to the Rays. They have the same number of wins, Route 66. There are the Astros needing to make up five games here with Verlander now in the mix in order to have home field throughout the American League playoffs that I believe all three of those teams I just mentioned, Astros, Rays, and Orioles, will make. Looks like the Rangers are looking good for that. And whoever, you know, survives the island of misfits in the American League Central will make the playoffs. And then it's who else makes that final wild card spot in the American League. Blue Jays, Red Sox, Angels, and the Yankees and Mariners have the same record, three games above 500 right now. But the Yankees were choosing a lane. They were staring for a lane. Which lane were they going to choose here? And as of, I was sitting around yesterday, doom scrolling on many fronts. And up came this tweet from Katie Sharp, who I follow on Twitter or X, you know, and I believe she's a John Boy individual, stat head as well. She tweeted out, as of 4 p.m. Eastern time, the Yankees are the only team that hasn't been involved in a trade at this year's trade deadline.
Man, I saw that yesterday.
And my jaw hit the floor. I'm like, you know what? I know they haven't made a move, but they're the only team that has not acquired or traded somebody away to amass prospects. They are one. They're still going down the highway that they have built for themselves in 2023 and haven't chosen a lane, exit lane, or a much more high occupancy vehicle lane for them. They haven't done that yet. Well, then all of a sudden, just keep on scrolling, and eventually a deal will be made, and they made two. For Keenan Middleton, a right-handed reliever for the White Sox, and Spencer Howard for the Rangers, a right-handed pitcher for the Rangers. And, you know, the White Sox, I get. Maybe some, I have no idea. Again, I don't know who these people are, and I apologize to them. I'm sure they're very hard workers to get where they've gotten, and their family loves them. But how good can this guy from the Rangers be? They're flipping an arm? Teams that are now in a legit, figurative arms race and just added two Cy Young future Hall of Fame arms to the figurative arms race are flipping an arm to the Yankees. How good can this guy possibly be? And I thought to myself, looking at that, two trades on deadline day, one that used to involve a Ranger and another one that came from the Cubs. Remember when they got Votto and Anthony Rizzo and you're like, okay, Yanks really mean business. Mm-hmm. And now there's this and Rizzo can't hit a home run. And Gallo's long gone. I think he's now three teams removed from the Yankees. His career went right down the tubes as soon as Cashman put his thumb on the Votto, on the Gallo scale. Be lucky to have Votto. And I just slapped my head. And that was it. That's all the Yankees did. And Brian Cashman chose to stay in the lane, stay in his lane. The lane of, I made these moves in the offseason. This was the team I thought that could win the World Series after re-signing Judge and re-signing Rizzo and getting Carlos Rodon in. And I got Frankie Montas at last year's trade deadline, thought he would be able to go, but he got hurt. But Severino's coming back. Nestor Cortez is an all-star. This is it. This is what Cashman had to say. Brian Cashman had to say after the trade deadline netted the Yankees that.
Obviously, we're in it to win it. So, you know, we stayed the course because of that. Obviously, we've got Nestor coming back as well as Loaisiga soon. And you know, we know that we have, you know, we have better baseball in us, although we haven't shown that and proven that. But we've got two more months to show that now. So ultimately reinforced a little bit of the pen, you know, with the Middleton acquisition. And there was a designation of assignment, you know, last second out of Texas. So we grabbed Spencer Howard real quick, an option to Scranton. You know, certainly we were aggressively trying to do more and be open-minded to a lot of things coming our way. But when the dust settled, this is obviously – we stayed the course with what we had because we felt that given the options that were available coming our way or the options that we were unable to secure, this was the best play for us with the team we had that, you know, we still are within, you know, striking distance. And let's try to find a way to figure our way through it and get ourselves in and see what we can do if we can get there.
So then we learned the Ranger they got, they're not even using. And I guess was available because Scherzer came in to Texas. So he did a little bit of both. You know, he got an arm for future use and got an arm for now. And we just haven't heard about either or any of them. And I heard that. I thought to myself, Cashman must be feeling the heat. There must be some sort of heat on him where he feels like his gig is on the line. And I know my buddy Jimmy Trainor doesn't think that. And John Boy may join us shortly and reinforce that Cashman is there no matter what happens. Because if Cashman was about making sure the Yankees are winners long term, that's what general managers do. They not just keep their eyes on the road right in front of them and the steering wheel, but down the road or across the horizon as well. Then he would have said, who wants LeMahieu? Who wants Rizzo? Who wants, name it. Name me anybody not named Judge. Name me anybody not named Volpe. Anyone else? Who wants Torres? Who wants any of these guys right now? And amass the prospects to build around Judge, who I guess he couldn't look in the face and say, yeah, we're selling off. Because Yankees don't sell off. It would have been terrible to watch a sell off and see what would happen over the next 7-8 weeks. As a Yankee fan, I'd be like, okay, then bring the kids up. Let's see. Let's see what you got. Let's see if we can be as plucky as the Orioles with a raise. But instead, he held on to the cards. And unfortunately for Cashman, how did the people who he says were staying the course? That's how we're showing we're all in, because I believed this was the championship quality team that I built in the offseason. I'm sticking with it to the point where I'm not going to trade anyone off for parts, and I'm not going to acquire anybody that I'm overspending to go get. How did they reward him? 3 hits in the first 8 innings, 2 meaningless runs in the 9th. Gave a nice little scare that they did bring a tying run to the plate against a Rays team that went up early on again, 5-2 lost. They totally felt, Rodon gave up 4 runs and 4+. Faceplant. And Boone must be sitting there going, I'm out of buttons to push. And Cashman's like, well, I'm out of options to actually acquire. Your 2023 New York Yankees, right there. I know you're playing a fiddle over there. There's a cup of tears. And, Bud, you're in a better spot. Red Sox are in a better spot.
Not that we made any
groundbreaking
deals.
I get it.
They're playing good baseball.
But they've got
month.
Some prospects that have some life to them.
Yeah.
Yankees, you know, Volpe is lost in a sea of mediocrity.
I'm just worried because Keenan Middleton wears number 99. So is he going to have to make a deal with Judge to get that jersey?
Good one. Let's ask John Boy that. We'll take a break and get John Boy of John Boy Media on the horn here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Is there a possible new starting quarterback in the NFL as well? We'll hit that before the end of the hour.
Are you currently enjoying this show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
It's time for kickoff, and the Believe podcast will get you ready for the new season.
How do you live through this as a Detroit sports fan?
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
You solidified your defense. You got better.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
If you don't do those things, then you're not even trying your hardest to win at football, and I don't know what we're doing.
There was a lot of great players on those teams that I was fortunate to be part of.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
All right, everybody, we're back here on our program. Our Roku channel audience will return, our radio audience will return in less than 2 minutes' time. That's when we'll bring in John Boy. I got a little bit caught up on the Yankees.
You did?
But, you know, I said I made you feel better about the Mets situation.
Yeah, I was telling Brockman, sometimes you just want to be out on your teams, right? And they're essentially telling us that next year is not even going to matter.
Well, I don't know. Listen, the general manager told that according to Scherzer. Okay. That's what he was told. Now, I bet you the next time he's in front of a microphone, it'll be like, that's not our belief. But because my only concern, if I'm a Met fan hearing that, does that mean you're sitting out Ohtani? Really? Shohei Ohtani is going to be available. And Steve Cohen is already now suddenly counting his stacks of money. This year of me coughing up $140 million, having the ninth highest payroll in Major League Baseball for players I don't have on my team anymore. Mm-hmm. Or not playing for the team.
I don't have high hopes anymore.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if I'm a Met fan, I'd be like, at least they chose a lane. But I hope that lane includes, you know, knocking on Ohtani's door when he's available, as he will be.
No doubt.
Unless, you know, things continue so hunky-dory for the Angels that, you know, not only do they make a playoff run, but announce in the middle of it that Ohtani's re-signed. You know?
Hey, Rich, to make you feel better, I just read something about Kenyon Middleton. And the quote is, they did add a solid reliever to their bullpen.
Okay.
So you got to be happy about that, right?
That's where you're
Look at
now as the Yankees, making solid moves. Congrats.
Dude, you know how I feel about that word. Solid is not an appropriate adjective when you want to say something superlative about somebody.
For you guys.
It is not. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Again, I told you last night in the middle of everything going on with Major League Baseball, I thought to myself, who's the guy that can come on and talk about this in a fun and compelling way and is the man who is creating his own media empire? Talking Yanks and Talking Baseball podcast host and the, CEO of John Boy Media. John Boy back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
You got it. All right. So I know you talked to Aaron Boone. Have you already spoken to him post-deadline and that's coming out later? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, that one just came out, so we talked to him like an hour or so ago, yeah.
Okay. So what are you willing to share that, you know, again, everyone should obviously go seek it out on your platforms, but what can you share with me of what he told you after the Yankee trade deadline netted a reliever from the White Sox and then one from the Rangers, who they then sent to the minors? Give me that one.
It it's a tough line of questioning because ultimately it's the front office that makes the decision. I tried to ask, like, does he have clarity on their plan? Because the press the scrum he had right before the trade deadline, they asked him what he's expecting. He said, well, we could trade guys, we could gain guys, or we could do nothing. He was like, oh, so does anyone know the plan? He said from his point of view that they're in a really tough spot, being two out of the wild card, and they don't want to strip it because they don't want to kill the chances of going to the playoffs. And then people want their rentals while they want to pay too much of a price. But it doesn't really make any sense. They just dropped to either 23rd or 28th in prospect rankings because all these other teams just bolstered their farm, which now they have that ammo to use in future trades or develop and graduate to MLB players. And the Yankees didn't do that, nor did they make the team better. It's kind of unbelievable to not do either of those at the deadline.
Right. That's what I was talking about. At least the Mets chose a lane, you know, they chose a lane, and it's kind of gutsy to do when you're in the same market, obviously in New York, but what do you think is the plan with Brian Cashman? Just like, hey, I thought this was it and it's not, and I'm just going to stay the course because I still believe it's it, and the team that he rewarded with that belief then returned in kind with 3 hits in 8 innings against the Rays. Is that literally what happened last night?
That's my fear. My fear is, we talked about that a little bit with, on Boone saying this is the team, these are the guys, and they're just underperforming. But I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if they're underperforming. They might just be performing to their abilities at this point in their careers or at this point in the state of the game. It just feels like you need to about face and make some changes, and you definitely need some lefties at the top of the lineup and the ability to not rely solely on Aaron Judge. So that's why I applaud the Mets and Cohen for doing what they're doing. They saw an opportunity to bolster their minor league system like crazy. And then they don't care about money. They basically just spent money on prospects, which then can lead to more trades or they can graduate them. So, yeah, I'm a little jealous of the Mets. I don't want to be strung along the remainder of the season, but I will because I'm a fan.
Yes.
And all fans are a little dumb. So if they win 2 games, you know, I'll scoot forward in my seat and I'll get really upset with myself that I'm doing that because this team's not that good.
Well, I mean, what they need to get is a pitching performance that's half of Gerrit Cole. You know, like that's what they need to get, and then get some timely hitting from guys who just don't make contact. That's why I thought, you know, maybe Cashman should consider selling off LeMahieu and should consider, and I don't know if Rizzo was even sellable off. Those are the guys that I would consider. Torres, just go ahead and burn it down. And the fact that he didn't do that leads me to believe, is his job, Cashman, I know, you know, Jimmy Trainor thinks he's like a Supreme Court justice sitting there. Is his job in jeopardy, do you think, with the Yankees?
I don't know. Has anyone that was there in one of those higher positions, president or GM or anything, been let go by Hal? I think they were all hired by George. So I feel like that's the group. I don't know. They've never made big changes at the top of the organization in any facet, I don't think. So I think I think they're pretty secure there. I don't know. It's very interesting. It's a completely different dynamic from obviously how Steinbrenner ran the team.
Of course. I remember those days, John Boy. A night like, yeah, Sunday night in Baltimore, where a pitcher didn't give up. Like Luis Severino would have been on the Mariners by the end of the night, you know, or in Columbus, Ohio, for the Columbus Clippers by the end of the night. And, you know, Boone would have been fired a long time ago. I mean, if George was in charge.
I get really frustrated. And non-Yankee fans, they will point to me and say, I'm just being a spoiled Yankee fan. And I'll say, of course I am. That's the brand that I signed up for. That's what Steinbrenner created, this brand of, like, one of their bigger selling points was, you know, the most demanding fans in sports. If you can't make it there, you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. That was like, that's part of the Yankees brand, the Yankee way. And then this season when they're in last place, Hal comes out and says he's confused why the fans are upset. What are you talking? That's the whole brand. That's what your dad built.
Oh, I'm with you. We're talking the same language. I've got John Boy.
Yeah, no, I know. I get fired up about it. You got to win.
I can tell. I'm right there with you, John Boy of John Boy Media here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, do you think the Mets are really out on Ohtani with what Scherzer said? Billy Epler told him that caused Scherzer to say, "Well, then definitely get me out of here. I'll waive my no trade clause for certain places." And they've sent him to Texas, and he's like, "Sold. I'll go." Like, do you really think that the Mets are not going to be in on Ohtani later on this year?
Well, I didn't put that together, but no, I don't believe that. Everyone's going to be in on Ohtani, right?
We would think. I mean,
that is interesting. maybe you could be in on Ohtani, but that's the only
that's
thing
the exception.
Next year, and then you do all the other moves in 2025. I don't know, but yeah, I didn't. And I wonder if Scherzer, if that conversation is how Scherzer reported it, that's a great follow-up he should have had. Well, I'm not going to go get a time because I'd like to be teammates with him.
That was the thing that jumped out at me, John Boy. I'm like, okay, so you're out of big time, any big time free agent this coming year. It's just maybe the biggest free agent, you know, ever. Maybe since like Reggie Jackson before you were born and when I was a little kid. You know, I mean, like that's how huge we're talking about. I wouldn't believe that, you know?
It's going to be a wild courting of him because we don't really know what he wants. Everyone thought he was going to go to the Yankees and there's big names, and he went to the Angels. He came to the U.S. to play baseball for less money. He avoided the posting fee and all of that and signed the, you know, the minor league deal or whatever it was. So what does he want? Does now he value the money? Is he going to be tempted to set the market and go as high as he can, like all top free agents are, or is he just going to want to stay cozy with the Angels? Like, I can't believe I'm even saying that's an option, but I have no idea.
It's entirely possible. John Boy of John Boy Media here on the Rich Eisen Show. So which teams do you think are now the favorites? Are we seeing an Atlanta-Houston World Series? Is that what we're seeing right now? Texas might sneak in. Somebody else in the Dodgers might break through again. What do you got for me right now?
I think I like the front runners. I like Atlanta, and I do like Houston. I think bringing Verlander back, even though they were pretty good at the starting pitching, department anyway. But I think you can't count the Astros out. But I do like what the Rangers did. I do think the Rangers set themselves up. They make it into the wild card, or they get into the postseason, even if they win the division. I think they set themselves up to have a playoff roster where some teams made some trades here to get into the playoffs, but they're not bolstering their roster enough to be a playoff contender, which I think the extra wild card teams has done, which some people enjoy, some people I don't enjoy. I'm just like, well, what are the Cubs going to do with Candelario? It doesn't help them win the NLCS.
Right. I'm with you. Before I let you go, John Boy, what's your favorite lip reading that you've been able to pull off this year so far? What's your favorite
this
one?
This year, I think it's got to be Scherzer when he got ejected for the sticky stuff, and he just kept saying, "It's rosin and sweat, it's rosin and sweat." And one of the broadcasts stayed on him for a while, and I edited it so it was like a really slow cinematic zoom from wide all the way close to his face, just over and over, "It's rosin and sweat, it's rosin and sweat."
Right. And now I guess he'll have that in Texas. He's certainly
hotter there, so
more sweat.
It'd be even more sweaty.
More sweat, yeah. Rosin, sweat, and tears. All right, man. What do you think happens with the Yanks? They totally missed the playoffs, right? Like, I just don't see a team. You look in the dugout; they look demoralized. They look thoroughly demoralized. The Orioles beat them up, and now here come the Rays. Have already taken this series. Like, this thing seems to be a wrap. John Boy,
I gotta agree. I think that the four games against Houston, seeing Verlander again, it might get very, very ugly. And yeah, I don't think they're gonna make the playoffs.
John Boy, thanks again. Your conversation with Aaron Boone is already posted, correct?
Yep, you can find it at Talking Yanks on any podcast app or on the YouTube channel.
John Boy, thanks for the time, brother. You be well.
Thank you.
You got it at John Boy _ on Twitter. You notice we still have the bird up there on the screen. We're not putting the X. That's for you.
Thank you. I mean, as we should. Just keep calling it Twitter, and everyone will go back to calling it Twitter.
So you feel any better? John Boy says he's jealous of the Mets fans.
I mean, better? you're still going to have to suffer, and we've been suffering. It doesn't seem like there's any end in sight. I understand these prospects are young and upcoming, but we're probably going to end up trading them away, too. It's just,
here's,
I don't know, man.
Here's
it's just
the thing.
Never-ending circle, Rich.
Cashman did what he had to do in re-signing Judge. Period. End of story. Could you imagine how much worse it would be if Judge left for the Giants, right?
Oh, yeah.
The Giants, who apparently were in on Verlander, too, or Scherzer, one of those two.
They're going to be in on Otani, that's for sure.
I mean, the Giants lead the league in coming close. If baseball trades were horseshoes and hand grenades.
So their mascot should be a bridesmaid?
But do you have the National League standings? Okay.
Yeah, this?
Oh, so I know we got the American League standings. And you take a look at the National League standings, and I think to myself, how many teams would I take over the Yankees right now?
To do what?
Just to be better for the next 2, 3, 4 years.
Okay.
I would take right now, obviously, I would take the Braves. Dodgers. I take the Reds. How about them apples?
The Reds have a lot of young talent.
The Reds are leading the Central right now.
They are exciting.
A lot of young talent.
They and the Brewers are going to toggle back and forth, I think, in the lead for that.
Yep.
With the Cubs threatening. I take the Marlins over the Yanks now. Would I take the Diamondbacks over the Yanks right now?
Ooh.
Phillies and Giants.
I mean, I know it hasn't translated to wins this year.
I take the Padres.
Too,
I take the Padres.
Yeah.
You know, the Orioles, Rangers, Rays. I'd take the, obviously, Astros and Blue Jays. I wouldn't take the Red Sox over the Yankees because there's a corpse that I'd have to say over that. But even, you know, a heart of hearts, they're in a better spot. I think the Yankees are going to end up firing their manager. I think Aaron Boone's the one who's going to eat it.
There's no more hitting coaches to fire.
Well, I mean, in all honesty, if this is the team that we're seeing the rest of the way, that's going to struggle that to even win a series or...
You just can't score any runs.
They because they don't make contact.
Huh.
They don't get on base. They don't hit. They don't get on base, and they don't move runners around.
It just seemed like trying to get Cody Bellinger was a no-brainer. So was it really that the Cubs didn't want to deal him, or you just weren't offering enough?
Well, what, Cody Bellinger, really, what, add another guy that's...
That what? He's been awesome this year.
I know.
He's a left-handed power hitter that
I
you guys know. Desperately need.
And the Cubs got hot. And the Angels got hot. And the Yankees fell apart.
Yeah.
That's the way it is in this new baseball world with all of these wild card opportunities. If you're inhaling it creates more teams that think they're still in it. And the Yankees will just never admit. They will never admit it's not working out, and this general manager decides to just stay the course, and they reward the players he rewarded the players with his trust. And they immediately turned around and came up with 3 hits in 8 innings against the Rays. And the prize offseason free agent signer, you think I had one button on too many. I mean, Rodon is just like, you know, like he's in Ocean's 11 out there. And he gave up 4 and 4 innings. It's terrible. So let's leave them to be. We'll come back. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Bruce Feldman's going to join us in studio in hour number 2, talk college football. When we come back, did we hear an NFL head coach mention that everyone we assume is his starting quarterback maybe isn't going to be the starting quarterback?
Mm.
That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. You're a type of guy that figures if it's not going the Yankees' way, it's because the way you're sitting or what you're wearing. You literally believe that.
Oh, yeah. I literally believe that. Like, somebody can walk in the room and I'll go like, who's this guy? You got to be careful. And like, one time my brother-in-law was sitting in a chair against the Red Sox and the guy hit a bomb. And then he came the next night. And I said, you sat there last night? And he goes, yeah. I go, no, just sit over here. He goes, I can't sit here. I said, sit over there. You were there last night. You screwed everything up. So
that's family? You treat your brother-in-law?
I don't care. I don't care if it's a brother-in-law. You know what I mean? I mean, I throw my hat sometimes when I get mad. That might turn it. And I go, all right, leave the hat. Drop the baseball. Leave the baseball. I'm telling you. Like last night, I brought out the broom and Chapman was starting to sweat me out.
Right.
I go, get that broom out of here. Get the broom out of here right now. Don't fool around right now with the mojo. I can, you know, I can do that in my house. When I'm at the stadium, at least I'm with people like me that I can relate to, so I don't have to do that. It's harder to watch than to participate because you have no control. It's like on an airplane. Your life, you could die. You're like, you know, you go like that when you land and whatever. So you're out of control. At least when you're acting or you're doing the scene,
right.
It's you. But I feel like I could turn things sometimes. I just feel like if I'm there, like even though with the Astros, I feel like if I go to H-Town, I could beat those Cowboys right in that stadium. Somehow my mojo. I almost did it once in 2001 in the Diamondbacks, Game 7.
Yeah.
It was working. It was freaking working. People were calling me when Soriano hit a homer.
Yeah.
I said, don't jinx it. They go, you're doing it. You're doing it. I said, I know. And then there was that stupid bunt where Mariano threw the ball to second. Never should have did that. Changed the whole inning.
It did change.
I was almost in tears. Imagine driving back in the desert 5 hours after a lost game 7 like that.
You're in tears, huh?
Oh, yeah. Some guy goes, wow, you're a real fan. I said, yeah, I know.
That reminds me to use the Brooks Koepka phrase. We need to do a wellness check on Nick.
Yeah,
back
right.
Here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We have not one but two poll questions, right? And we've posted them.
That's
at
true.
Rich Eisen
yeah,
Show.
They've been up for over an hour.
Okay.
Now.
Why don't we go ahead and read those out, and I'll hit them with a retweet right now, Chris, because just figured, you know, it's that time of year. We're now in August.
Yep.
And the NFL, more than any other league, is a worst-to-first league. So many teams can go ahead and go worst-to-first. The Jacksonville Jaguars went from first overall on the clock two straight years to winning their division. So that's the way fortunes can turn in the NFL. So go for it, Christopher.
Yeah, who's got the best chance in each conference? NFC, AFC, to go worst-to-first and win their division this year. So these eight teams were all last place last year. Commanders, Bears, Falcons, and Cardinals in the NFC. Jets, Browns, Texans, Broncos in the AFC.
Okay.
Vote now at Rich Eisen Show.
Vote now at Rich Eisen
on
Show.
On Twitter.
We'll give you about
on Twitter.
On Twitter.
On Twitter.
Is where you should do. I still have the bird in the Twitter on my screen.
Don't update your app.
Is that right?
Yeah. Update the app. Boom. X, right, Mike?
Says, is that how it
That's
works?
That's what happens.
It's, yeah, yep. I got X now.
Oh, my God.
Well, you do the update, you get the X. Don't do the update, people.
I got the X.
Let's linger on the Commanders for a second, shall we? Let's linger on the Commanders because we had Lewis Riddick on yesterday, and he said, you know, essentially don't sleep on the Commanders, right? Mm-hmm. Did he say that?
Yeah.
Because he likes Eric Bieniemy being added there. He likes the moves that they've made in the draft in recent years. They've got some really fast, quick players.
Great receiving core.
Right. Now, that's if you're going to take Eric Bieniemy and make him the play caller, don't you want to get basically what you want to get quick receivers because fast receivers, that's what the Chiefs do, right? Fast guys.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the Jets took Mecole Hardman. Don't forget he's on the Jets too, but I don't want to go down that wormhole a little bit here. And get the running game going. They got the kid Brian Robinson Jr. in his big hat, right? Coming back. Assume he's going to be the bell cow a little bit this year. Good defense. Like what he's doing. Question is, what about Sam Howell? Who we saw yesterday is a fourth-tier quarterback, according to the 50 unnamed folks that Mike Sando of The Athletic quizzed. And so Ron Rivera was asked about Sam Howell's progress so far and what he expects to see in the preseason and get from that. See if you picked up on what I picked up on.
Right now, this is all the growth and development opportunity. This is a chance to learn the base fundamentals of our offense, and he's been doing it since OTAs and minicamp. What you really need to look for is when we get on the field. You know, when we do game plan, when we do prepare. I know it's just preseason games, but those are going to be paramount to telling everybody where he is, what's his growth. And at the same time, as I've said a couple of, don't sleep on Jacoby. He's done a nice job as well. I mean, we got some really good quarterback play going on right now. We've got a real good quarterback room. We're very happy with what we've got right now.
Ah.
Ooh.
Well, he started it and finished the soundbite with the two magic words.
Don't sleep on Jacoby.
Right now. Interesting.
Jacoby as in Jacoby Brissett, who has started in this league.
Sure has.
He started for the Patriots.
Yep.
He started for the Browns.
Yep.
He started for the Colts. And, you know, if he now plays for the Washington Commanders, that would be an interesting development and also make him a much more valuable, immaculate grid player as well.
The new Fitzpatrick.
Well, Josh Johnson is the greatest immaculate grid player of all time. Just so take a step back, sir.
Let's wait for everybody.
Okay. So what's up with that? Don't sleep on Jacoby. And I guess since we were talking about Sam Howell's headshot yesterday, maybe that's what the bedhead is. Maybe he's sleeping on Jacoby. The bedhead.
Top notch.
Jacoby Brissett starting for the Washington Commanders, huh?
Interesting.
Don't sleep on that. Because I'll tell you what, brother. They've got the weaponry, and they've got the guy dialing it up who is in your face. I will never forget a few years ago when we were doing a NFL Game Day morning, did a feature on Adrian Peterson, and we saw Eric Bieniemy, his running backs coach at the time, in his face. And I remember during that piece, Marshall Faulk was sitting to my left, and Marshall looks at me, he's just nodding his head. I'm like, what are you nodding your head about? He goes, that's Bieniemy. So if Sam Howell is faltering or leaves any question, does that mean Jacoby Brissett's a starting quarterback in the NFL again?
Seems likely.
Or is he just like telling Sam, you know, I mean, coaches can be sitting there and saying in their back of their mind, well, I got to talk about my other guy too. I don't want him to think I'm not noticing him and I keep talking about the kid and he's battling his ass off and he's leading and he's doing this and he's doing that. And he just throws his name out there. And now we're sitting here wondering, does that mean Sam Howell's not? Because I'm thinking he's the starting quarterback of this team. They're going to give him his chance. They drafted him. They liked him. They're developing him. And he's going to be the guy. But maybe not. Washington opens the season home against Arizona. With all due respect to the Cardinals, that seems like a nice, soft open. At Denver, home for Buffalo, at Philadelphia, then against the Chicago Bears on Thursday night.
See, I don't see it that way. I think this could be 1-5, 0-6, and Ron Rivera's out.
I don't think Ron Rivera's going to go out. I don't think a new owner is going to come in and just immediately replace a coach in the middle of a season. I don't think that. I think Ron's got the season. And I think the team's going to be better than you think as well. I don't think that's 1-5. We'll see what Sam Howell looks like. What a big question mark that is. Mm-hmm. Did you also see a video from training camp up in Oxnard? Dak Prescott and Trevon Diggs getting into it?
Oh,
they did. I mean, getting into it.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's banter, Rich. It's banter.
I know Diggs,
on the field.
But Diggs said something very ungentlemanly towards Dak.
Yeah, I mean, you should
hear. And Dak flipped the football at him.
You should hear what Del Tufo says to Brockman every morning. We see, you know, it is what it is.
I'm not stirring anything up here.
Oh, yes, you are.
No,
Rich
I'm not.
Eisen. Yes, you
no,
are.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm thinking that's actually a good thing. Troops are salty.
Yeah, don't let
troops are salty,
each other's nerves
and that
at this
they
point.
Are type A guys
yeah.
going at it.
Now,
and that Dak, you know, flipping a ball at the guy who's got $100 million contract now, who's barking at Dak. I kind of like the saltiness of it.
I don't mind it.
I don't mind it either.
We all know that stuff happens in camp fights.
Oh, it's 100 degrees out in Oxnard, and they're going at it, and they're starting to bark at each other. They're you know, we're at that part of training camp where everybody's looking to start squaring their eyes on an actual
someone opponent. Other than your brother.
Correct. Right.
But I can say this. I saw the video. I heard what he said. It didn't, you know, I'm like, okay, whatever. But then I thought, you think anyone ever said that to Tom Brady?
I don't think so.
You think anyone said that to Peyton Manning?
No, I get it. And I feel like, you know, that's the sort of you're now spinning it in a direction where.
Well, I have to be fair and balanced in this.
I appreciate that.
You know, how's these people going
to
respect
me? But I saw that. Again, it's just where I can't wait for football to start getting played here.
Yeah, me too, because I feel like Dak takes a lot of like you watch these other shows.
He flipped the ball at him. He flipped it right at him.
Look, let's go, man, because all eyes are on you. Apparently, he's on the hot seat this year, so.
He's got to throw single-digit interceptions, that's for sure.
No doubt.
Bruce Feldman's going to come out here in studio in just a few minutes' time. Top of the next hour, let's talk college football with Bruce coming up.
I mean, Rich, how many times have you wanted to call one of us what Trayvon Diggs?
I definitely would never do that.
Do we know what he said?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you once we go off air.
Oh, I didn't see this.
He essentially, you know, they're having banter. Dak rolled out. The defense kind of stopped him. They can't hit him. And Diggs got in his face and he essentially called him a female dog.
Shut your B.A. up.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's more likely, the higher total, Cowboys wins or Dak picks?
He's not trying to stir anything up, but he's about to stir something up.
No, I'll go Dak picks.
Oh, man.
And I think it's both in double digits. Come on. What do you think? Dak's going to suddenly now only throw 4 or 5 interceptions on the season this year?
He's not that type of player.
No, he's not. He's just going to take risks, and I think that just comes part and parcel of the package with him.
Yeah, I mean, people act like interceptions don't happen. Like Peyton Manning didn't throw, 29?
I mean, Dak's a tier 2 quarterback, and that's what you get with him.
This guy.
Tier 2.
This guy.
You might be surprised who I choose to win the NFC East.
I doubt it. We know you're going to pick the Eagles.
So. Is that right? You think so?
Absolutely.
Well, you're all in Hurts yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of...
Oh, I'm in my Hurts bag right now.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you telegraphed it.
Why wouldn't you be? He's awesome.
And they got a lot of talent on that team.
He's tier 2 as well, by the way.
Hurts tier 2, yeah. Sure.
I can't get it.
We can have 6 guys in tier 1. It's fine.
It's okay.
It's okay to have 6.
We can have 6 guys. There's enough room on the screen for tier 1 quarterbacks.
For over 3 decades, nobody has had a wrestling career like Arn Anderson. Conrad Thompson gets all the stories with Arn.
After watching AEW's Double or Nothing, Amy wants to know, what does dinosaur taste like?
It ain't chicken. It's like biting into a sinewy charcoal briquette.
Ah.
But chewy.
Oh, like wow, that's disgusting.
Yeah, sure is.
Check out Arn every week, wherever you listen.